Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I've got something really different, guys. This is something I don't think many of you will have heard of, Leaf Resources. Now, if you think you understand Leaf Resources, you don't know the half of it, because I've been learning so much about this company, and I'm excited to share it with you today. Now, the ASX code is LER. LER is the ASX code. Joining me today is Ray Mountford. He is the Managing Director. You're going to learn stuff today that I didn't know, and it's going to be a really fun interview. So, Ray, good to see you. Yeah, now, you haven't spoken to our investor audience before, so why don't we first up just start with a brief overview of who are Leaf Resources, and it's a little bit different. It's pretty interesting what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, for us, it's normal. but Leaf Resources is a company, a group of people, a group of investors who are taking and extracting natural sustainable chemicals out of sustainably sourced carbon sources, in this case pine, or more specifically pine stumps. And
sorry to interrupt you, Ray, you said naturally sourced chemicals. Aren't chemicals unnatural? You put those two together and I'm thinking, aren't chemicals unnatural? Or is,
I think water's your most natural chemical, and then you're essentially, then you've got your essential oils, which everyone knows about. Of course, pine trees are the biggest producer of essential oils in the world. So, and that would be gums and that sort of thing. So, yeah, there are natural chemicals. And I think that's the key differentiator, is that chemicals has been such an unsexy word because of the overpowering element of petroleum sourcing and using all of those type of petroleum top chemical to make chemicals, synthetic chemicals, all of those things. But of course, we're all chemicals. We're made of chemicals. Our brain works from chemicals. We're listening to chemicals through all of that. I see a tree. This is the key differentiator between us and what we have to do with forestry, is that when I go into a forest, I don't see wood. I see the chemicals. I see the lignin. I see the cellulose. I see the rosin. I see the terpenes. I pick up my drink label and I see the glue and that there, which is, it can either be petroleum or source, or it could be a natural gum. We don't get it. Could be a petroleum source or a synthetic one or horribly, the old mercury, or it could be a natural gum from a pine tree.
And so I'm just curious, in terms of the balance at the moment, between natural and petroleum-based, because petroleum-based is the nasty stuff, I guess, is it? And
I guess that's how we're painting it. Your natural stuff, obviously, it doesn't have to change things. It doesn't change in the environment. It doesn't connect and make other nasty chemicals that we can't get out of our environment or out of our waterways and all of those sort of things. So there's a difference. And, and in our industry, and the size of our market that we're addressing, which we're talking about, briefly alluded to, things like your compounds on your tire and, your rubber to your steel belt, your chewing gums, your drinking, your drinking emulsifiers, and, your Coke, and your Coca-Cola and all that sort of stuff. The size, you've basically got about, a million tons of these pine sourced chemicals, and you've got a bit over a million tons of these petroleum sourced ones. And the limit on the pine side has been the accessibility to sustainably grown pine. That's been the limit. And I say accessibility, I'm not talking just about being able to access those pine forests. In other words, competing for that, say that same pine, as they said, as wood, keep competing for those chemicals with a sawmill or something. It's not quite like that. It's more around the processes and the technologies and the way in which we access those chemicals. And that is really the issue that we've addressed in Leaf in this last while.
Okay, so let's talk about how you've addressed that, because you've got, I believe it's a patented technology or patent pending technology,
yes,
to be able to source this, these chemicals, as you call them. I'm learning something every, I love learning, but it's an organic solvent process. Is it? Just explain the process and why it's so unique.
So what we've, you know, we've done two things now. We obviously accessed the forest by learning how to work with the forest owners and looking at where they're not doing well, in the sense of that, for instance, they earn nothing from pine stump, which is 25% of the mass of a tree.
Okay.
So we've been able to show them where the, and come in as a customer to buy that 25%, and that's one part of the accessing. But and it's very important, because in this type of industry, as I alluded, you've got a supply shortage, so it's supply driven. So then secondly, you know, accessing these chemicals through our process, which is what we looked at, was it had to be non-destructive. We didn't want to be at using either chemicals or physical attritions and things that created an environment where those chemicals degrade. Because, you know, when you add other chemicals and you make a reaction, the chemical changes, and you never get 100%. It's very difficult then for it to go back. So if we bring something outside, a synthetic additive, and you add it to a chemical, well, that's no longer a natural chemical, is it? It's now got this other appendage hanging on it. And so what we did was we said, well, what's the thing that moves the resin out of the tree? It's the natural terpenes. It's the essential oil of the pine. That's its function in the tree. So we took that essential oil and we used that to wash the rest of the wood. And what it did was it washed the free resin out of the pine trees. And that was how we developed the process, and we're the first people to do that, and we've been able to patent, we've got patent pendings on that process, patent pending on the product, because of course we haven't, every other producer of these chemicals use other chemicals in their process, whether even if they're tapping a tree like a rubber tree tapping, they add acids, they add plant growth hormones. These are chemicals that are not good in our food chains, they're not good in our waterways, they're not. And those come through in trace elements, and we all know, you know, we've all heard the word sensitization. We all know about, you know, getting sick from lactose intolerance with milk, and that's my background. I grew up on that stuff, being a dairy technologist. But
so I was just about to say, are you a chemical engineer, or are you what's your background?
I'm an entrepreneur. I don't know what I am. I've got that mixture of growing up on a farm that was the first farm forestry project in New Zealand, and being forest around us, and being engaged in forestry. My first tour through a pulp mill, a chemical pulping mill, what I'm talking about, was when I was 12 years old. That was part of our schooling. So wow. There's and then the other side was the farming, was the dairy farming. And so I applied to study forestry at the University of Canterbury. I was refused, and so I joined the dairy industry.
Okay.
I applied a year before I wanted to leave. I didn't want to do the final year of school, but and so I did a diploma in dairy technology, and that's my only higher education.
But I guess you've got you had a keen interest in process and
I'm
how
good at chemistry work. And I'm good at process and yeah. that and you know and there's many in Fonterra that would attest to that today. I think that's, you know, one of the strengths of us as a company. What we've done is I've been able to pull people like me around. I've got Grant, who's come from the oil fields up in the Permian Basin, Texas. We've got, I think, 12 chemical engineers from all over Australia, but representing 9 different countries of birth. These are people that are just so passionate about doing what we're doing, knowing that we're doing something that's actually not just changing the business world, but it's actually changing our environment.
Ray, no one else is doing. So basically what you've got is you're taking the pine tree, which used to be this taken down, and people would still use the resins and the likes, but they would add synthetic chemicals to it, not good for the environment. What you're doing is saying, listen, we don't need anything synthetic. We're going to make this all organic and natural. No one else is doing that.
Yeah. No one else is doing that. And very few companies have been able to engage with the forest owner as well in this way to bring this step change, to basically start industrializing this type of supply source of this type of chemicals, because the chemical pulping process industrialized it, but that was invented back in the late 1900s, early 1900s. So there's no thought to whether it was destructive or the waste, the amount of waste streams. For instance, they end up only achieving a 50% yield of the available chemicals through their process, versus us, we're at 99. So,
oh, wow. Okay. So 50% versus 99%. And you said before that 25% of the tree is in the stump. My vision was a stump's a stump, like there's nothing.
Yeah, but you've got to hold the tree up. And if you've got 75% above ground and it's all in the wind and swaying around, it needs to have some mass there holding it up. So you've got the roots. It's actually 35%. I cut it back to 25 because I'm eliminating all the little side roots because we don't use them. And we want to leave those in the soil to help with the soil structure. But taking that bowl out, but the key thing that I talked about there, and you can think of this being an inverted tree, is, and that swaying bit, is that that's why there's so much resin in the stump, because its function is to provide the resin makes the tree flexible. So that's what's one of the great attributes of the wood, of lignin, is that when you coat it with resin, it becomes flexible, it doesn't break and snap, it's incredibly strong. And of course, it's a C24 carbon. And in that, so now we just sort of move into understanding just how close it is to these other C24s and these other medium range carbons, chains, chemicals that we use every day in every application. Look, what's your asphalt going on the road if it's not a bunch of chemicals with stones in it?
What I want to get into though now is because it's fascinating, and I didn't realize like 35% is below ground and that was just being wasted before. Yeah. So Leaf Resources are saying, no, we don't need to waste any of it. We'll take all of it and we'll actually use all of it in a sustainable way, which is awesome. But yeah, Let's talk about the products that you're developing, because that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, so we take out obviously rosin and these what we call terpenes, and the rosin being the glue, the gooey yellow part of it, which is what rosin is it's unfossilized amber. That's amber is pine gum that's been fossilized, being old pine gum. So we can make it look nice like that. But the this gum has got a massive use every day. We use it, we need it, whether you're waxing your legs, whether you're putting fillings in your mouth or chewing gum with those fillings in your mouth, drinking Coca-Cola at the same time.
Things in your mouth, because you're too much
exactly. It's all useful for us. and then we talk about the flavoring in those drinks, and of course a lot of the flavoring is actually hybrids of the pine essential oil. So we take the pine oil, and we can what's amazing about the essential oil and the pine is that the two main ingredients in it are the building blocks for all fruit sugars that are in all other plants. So plants are made up pretty much of the same chemicals. It's just the ratios are different. And so even grass has these oils in them, but the smell of cut grass, that smell is the essential oil of the grass. So in the pine we have these building blocks, these base, and there's an abundance of them. And in the stumps as I was saying, because it gives that flex, that's where it makes and actually synthesizes these chemicals are naturally made down in the stump. And the tree sucks breathes. The tree breathes in a carbon loaded atmosphere and breathes out pure oxygen. And it takes the carbon, it sequesters it. And builds the tree up, and we're just accessing those carbon molecules that have been rearranged by the tree into these chemicals and that we use as part of our everyday life. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got natural turpentine, natural rosin,
yes.
You've got high purity sugars and also co-products as well.
Yes, so at the back end, and at this point in time, what we've done is we've commercialized, and our business plan right now is about commercializing the rosin and the terpenes extraction. And we've got a plant up at Apple Tree Creek that has got an 8,000 ton a year capacity, And there'll be news coming out shortly about increasing that and growing the company. But we've got markets to sell all of the terpenes. We've got a 5-year contract on those. And in order to meet that market, we need to double that capacity to 16,000 tonne. And then at the back end of the plant, the wood that we chip the wood up into about fingernail size, and that's how we open it up for extraction. And the back end of the plant, that at the lower throughputs, up to 8,000 tonnes, we've been supplying all the ginger farmers and the chook growers, the egg growers, and that with their with their mulches and that sort of thing. But at the back end there, we're about to announce wood fuel going in, wood pellet fuel, because that's a 25 million tonne a year market, which replaces coal as a fuel for mostly power stations and home heating in colder climates. So that's all export. And then on the other chemical side of that, Leaf Resources own further patents and technology on a glycel process, which is another organic chemical that breaks and separates the cellulose off the lignin. So it further breaks the wood down. And that process will be the cellulose, obviously the complex sugars, and we're looking at moving those into further adding like high octane alcohols used for fuels. And of course your lignins as bioplastics and that later on. So those elements will start to, there's still some work to be done, not a lot, but the main work that needs to be done in the company to ensure that we can really scale up is to build that base of capability amongst our staff as a company, that performance amongst our as a company, so that we've got a really solid launching pad of, as I've talked about, those engineers and staff and capability and the processing plant, cash flows, all of that, so that we can actually go in and, to places like New Zealand's Kaiwera Forest, with 1.5 million hectares of pine, and,
we're going to run out of time if I don't, because I love the fact that you've got so much knowledge. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm learning so much. Who knew? Who knew? I need to know the following things. First of all, what's your supply like? You talked about the forestry farmers before. Do you have enough supply, or in the future is that going to be challenging? And is all your supply coming from Australia, or are you looking globally?
Okay, so I'll answer it backwards. We're looking globally, of course. Pine is sustainably grown, and that's the main wood product, softwood in particular, that's sustainably grown around the world. And why are we finding it relatively easy to access that supply? Obviously, is because A, our products are high value, so we can afford to buy. We are in a position where for resinous logs, we can even afford to buy those logs competing with sawmills. And then obviously the stumps, it's the same thing. It ends up being about the same amount of cost when you've got to get the stump out of the ground, you've got to clean it up, you've got to get the OCS site and all of that. But of course, by opening up a new supply option and being not just the first mover, but given that it's quite a complex operation, and being able to get forestry companies to actually, change the way in which they manage their forests to start supplying from stumps, has been a major achievement of ours. And so, yes, supply is, it's a job to access it like anything, but no, I don't see there being issues on supply, because we're adding value to the forests that they otherwise didn't have. We're the best thing has ever happened, and they can afford,
I guess you're paying more than a sawmill would, I guess. Would that be right? Because you're actually using that 25% that was left behind before.
Well, the sawmill doesn't want the stump.
No,
that's right. Use it. The stump's grain goes all sorts of ways, and it's no good for even a paper plant.
Right.
You know, that's what's so good about it. And of course, the high chemical content is, and even in a resinous log, that's, your sawmill doesn't want that. So you buy a 4x2, you don't want the thing leaking resin. And everyone's seen those 4x2s with the knot on it leaking the resin that pushes the paint off it and whatnot. So, yeah.
Okay. So I'm curious, you're based in Queensland. is at the plant up in Queensland as well, and is all of the focus at the moment? I know you said you're sourcing globally, but right now is your supply just coming from Queensland?
Okay, for that plant, the supply is localised. Obviously, you know, you don't want to be, well, there is a company that's shipping the stuff in, but that's not in Australia. But you want to be sourcing as local as you can to the forest. And for us, that's sort of a 100 to 150 kilometre radius. And so when we talk about growing the company, that's about, you know, putting in alternative sites. And I want to sort of talk to that a little bit, because our environmental discharge compared to any other manufacturing unit, you know, we discharge water that's because our only additive into our process is steam, which drives the process, and that condenses back to water. And we currently, we've been growing ginger in it. so it fertigates well, because what's in it is a bit of wood flour. And that we don't have, because we haven't had any other chemicals, then of course you don't have to worry about taking them out. You certainly don't have to worry about discharging them into the environment. So, accessing sites and sort and that, because in this day and age where environmental impacts is incredibly important to everybody. And that is the thing that we have to overcome, is that we still need to put in green manufacturing. And so you've still got to go through those processes, and you've still got to be able to achieve those positive outcomes of get access to those sites, and then obviously the supply source from the forest. So yeah, we're talking to every other state bar one in Australia, and certainly in New Zealand.
Why bar one, am I allowed to ask?
Oh, well, you make decisions based on the readiness of the supplier to perform as well.
Okay.
Capabilities to perform as well.
How easily scalable is it? Because you talk location, that the forest has got to be pretty close. Is this going to be easy to scale for you in terms of the process and the manufacturing?
Two things about the process is that we've built it we've built it in such a way, and it's about return on investment is everything. And so we designed these factories so that they can be they're modular. And so it's basically this 8,000 ton module, which can generate between 20 and 30 million each one, and about 10 mil put in per annum each time.
So there's
an indication, and I'll say it's quite a range, but that depends on things like yield, stumps, where, location, how far, costs, all of those elements. But if you spend 10 and got 10 back per annum, that's still a hell of a return, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're, and as far as being able to, scale it, and that obviously, if you look at the size of the market, an average sized contract for us to sell to into a customer is 5,000 tonne a year in the rosin side. Well, right. We've only got 5,000 tonne a year, basically just over that, on this one little plant. And it's not good business to have one customer.
No, not good business. But you've got this plant. So let's talk revenues, because you've got the plant. Excuse me, the process is working.
Yes.
What's your revenues like? What's your forecast?
So we have just commissioned the plant. We've got first sales samples have gone to our customer. We've contracted all of it. That's the terpene side, and that's fully contracted. They have tested that sample, and we're just putting the pricing. So next week, first sales of chemicals. Wood sales are coming out. We turned dirt last June. And so during COVID, during this time, we have gone from being a private company with me, myself, and my dog. No, but basically seven guys. Brought Queensland Essential Oils, and we have taken over, come into Leaf Resources, gone public, and which was to access capital and to utilise their technologies and bring their skills on board, developed our management team, developed our board, developed our staffing team, got the capital together to build the plant, build it, and commissioned over this last 3 months. It's been a hell of a ride. I actually had dreadlocks.
Love it. Been a bit of a run. Well, and you know, excuse the pun, you're not letting the grass grow under your feet, are you?
No, we're going hard. And we really are. And we've been fortunate that, you know, because I've been in this industry 20 years. I worked for people that we're supplying. You know, right. So you know them.
You've got the relationships.
Yeah. And, you know, and they're incredibly supportive in that. And we've been able to grab some of, you know, some key people. I've got a guy with me. It's been with me 15 years. But it took me 2 years to get him in the country. I got him in 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Because of COVID.
Yeah. We're running out of time, Ray, so I really, really want to just very quickly find out, look, first of all, have you got government support? Because this is going to be, is this a carbon neutral or even better than that company?
Well, my opinion, it's better than that.
Yeah.
We need to do some work to be able to verify that. But, you know, we make the claim that, you know, and I can say that emphatically, for every kilo of rosin we make, that's a kilo of oil that's not pumped. Because it's a replacement, it's a direct replacement. But you know, you talk about the terpenes, and you talk about then you start talking about the wood pellets on fuel, and you start talking about the cellulose and the fuels and things like that. But yeah, do we have governmental support? We have great local support up in Bundaboo from our regional council there. We have people in Queensland government, I guess, trying to help us, but we have not had any. We have not had any dollar for dollar or any of those grants. And it's the interesting thing, because we're the only bioeconomy project that's got up. And they've spent hundreds of millions. So yeah,
Shout out to the Australian government. Why aren't you supporting this company? Sounds like it's going places fast. So instead of supporting ones that go nowhere, what about reach out, talk to Ray? He's clearly doing something right.
You know, but that's because we're getting on and doing it.
Yeah.
And we're not actually, and you know, when you look at those grants and stuff like that, and we have applied and we have put a lot of time and energy into them, but when you know, we're out in the region actually doing it, and the people I really need to talk to are the forest owners and, you know, and our customers and the engineers and our staff and all of that, you know, and that what I would like to see from the government is that they start actually helping new companies with compliance, particularly health and safety, design, all of those things where they've got so many laws that we're suddenly expected to be able to actually comply with on the day we open our doors. And that's an incredible barrier to putting up manufacturing in any country, but particularly here in Australia. And so the politicians say, hey, we need to do manufacturing. Okay, well, let's be practical about that, because I know what it takes. And we are a compliant company. We've had work safe through us. We're doing the arts.
Right.
But you don't know what you don't know. And when I have talked to politicians about it, they say, oh, well, that's what the regional developer guy's for. And that, no, it's not what they're for. You know, what this takes is it takes internal capability within each company, and it takes money and it takes time.
Ray Mountford for Prime Minister, that's what I say. Ray, we've run out of time. Investors are listening. Why is now, I mean, you've clearly done a ton of work. I certainly didn't know about Leaf Resources until we started chatting. I found it fascinating. It's clearly, as we said before, zero carbon or even better than that. Why do you think now is a good time for investors to put their hard-earned cash with Leaf Resources?
Because we're not just at go, we've finally got onto Whitchapel. We're, you know, in other words, we've got a functioning plant there, we've got sales happening. So, you know, the 8,000 ton plant, we'll be hitting that run rate in the next periods. And then from there, we'll be doubling, tripling and quadrupling the size of the company, as we talked about in that modular design element. And the beauty of those is that because they are modular and because of the sizing, these are not so expensive to put them where they need to be put.
Okay.
We're a company that not just, and if you're a long-term investor, which is the best type of investor from my point of view, just quietly.
Yep.
The next 5 to 10 years, watch out, because all we're doing is building a platform for that other chemistry that I've talked about down the back end. And the reason why is that the chemistry up the front end, which is just removing the rosin, we talked about how it lines the lignin and stuff. Well, it's also the thing that stops you being able to do further processing to it. So all these other processes where they've been struggling to pull stuff out, well, you needed to do our fancy process up the front.
Will you license that process at all down the track, or are you keeping it close to your chest?
The extraction part up the plant at the front end, we're looking to keep close to our chest. The stuff at the back, we talk, those are sort of 150 million plus projects, those ones at the back end.
For
instance, yeah, they and the impacts and the volumes that we're talking about will be very, very significant. So licensing and partnering, and we already have some of those in play, and we will need to keep developing those. Yeah, you've got to choose what your core is, and then, you know, I think that we will be a great company to manage and oversee the install, because I've built an operational base and I've built a projects base in the company, and that is how we've structured it. And I think that's really important when you go into partnerships with other, you know, with these other, you know, institutions and companies.
Sure.
But yeah, we are talking to, well, I can, you know, we are talking to some of the biggest companies in the world right now. They're approaching us because they know what's
going on. Of course, yeah. Well, leading the way in green technology and, you know, getting the job done is Ray Mountford, who's the managing director of Leaf Resources. Who knew? I didn't know half the things about the good old pine tree. So next time you see a pine tree, ladies and gentlemen, you'll look at it in a different light, won't you?
Go hug a pine.
What's that?
Hug a pine.
Go hug a pine. Yeah, there we go. Go hug a pine tree. Hug a pine tree. And this is not financial advice, so you've got to go do your own research. But Ray Mountford, absolute pleasure to talk to you. You're going to have plenty of news coming up, so I'm sure we'll be talking again in a couple of months, because you've got a lot of news flow coming out. So watch this on Small Caps. We'll be covering all the news going forward. Ray Mountford from Leaf Resources, ASX code LER. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry. Pleasure.